Phoenix's Los Olivos Park near 28th Street and Indian School could be in line for a bit of a makeover. A firm called Greenbelt Hospitality has proposed a plan to use 4 acres of the 28-acre park for a working urban farm, as well as an education center and concession stand, among other things. There's a public open house on the proposal this afternoon at the Devonshire Senior Center, which is adjacent to the park. Eric May and Matt Moore are the two people behind the plan. May owns and operates the Parlor Restaurant in Phoenix. Moore is an artist, farmer, and designer. Together, they make up Greenbelt Hospitality, and they join me. And Eric, let me start with you. How did this vision of what you'd like to do in Los Olivos Park come to you?
Well, it all started with this really incredible solicitation that the Parks Department put out. And I think this is a really defining moment. They've got 47,000 acres of parks and open space in Phoenix, and they really understand soccer balls, frisbees, hiking trails, and what they've really come to recognize and understand is that if they're really truly building a healthy community, the physical activity is half of the story, but the other half of the story is diet, nutrition, education as it pertains to nutrition, and also food culture and agriculture.
So Matt, what is your ultimate vision for what you would like to do here?
I mean, we have really taken that to heart, this idea of building healthy communities. And in my four generations of history of agriculture in the West Valley, and then working through advocacy over the years, really a lot of it is around engagement and impact. And so to provide and make spaces that you can start to talk about these ideas that really are about, and that's what all the advocacy work over the years was driven towards, is around education, around how we live our lives. Where's our food come from? And what is the full story there? Because usually I'm telling the first, as we say, the first half of the book, which is seed to harvest.
So, Eric, if Matt is sort of focused on the first part of the book, I assume that yours is the second part, from the time the food comes out of the ground to when it shows up on somebody's plate.
Trust me, you don't want me to cook your...
Oh, you'll learn.
I know.
You nailed it. And there are so many places in the world where you can go to learn about the first half of the book, which would be seed to box of produce. And there's definitely a lot of places in the world where you could go to learn about the second half of the book, which is box of produce or vegetable to delicious prepared culinary experience. There is very few places, especially in the core of Phoenix, where you can go and get the full experience. And Matt talked about engagement, and that's really what it boils down to. If you put a plate of food in front of somebody, hopefully it's delicious and hopefully they like it. If you put a plate of food in front of somebody and you tell them that you grew the ingredients and they just were harvested this morning from your backyard or your front yard or the farm outside, it is an entirely different level of engagement.
So how do you guys go about trying to do that? Because your plan is to have basically a working urban farm as part of this overall project you're doing at Los Olivos Park. How do you try to get people engaged? How do you try to get people to maybe work on the farm or be a part of it, or even just sort of witness the process of going from seed to harvest to table?
One of the most wonderful parts about this process is our over 30 hours and beyond of community engagement. Now, those were open house hours, and then we've been walking around the neighborhood and talking to people about what we're creating. We've seen that really just inherent interest of that exact thing, like how is our food grown? And that it brings people together around that experience, which is really around wonderment to me. Because when you have seed in your hand, it's abstract. And most of my career has been around, if you knew it took 160 days to grow a carrot, how would it change the way that you think about the food that you're eating?
The other thing I really want to touch on is proximity. The farms are getting bigger and the cities are getting bigger, and they're becoming more and more disparate. As a resident that lives in the core of Phoenix today, it is nearly impossible to find a working piece of agriculture. So you talked about how we want to, you know, engage the community. The first and the lowest hanging fruit, if you will, is the proximity. To establish this working organic farm in the core of Phoenix, it's right outside people's front doors, really. And it's walkable from schools and churches and you know, community centers and the Devonshire Senior Center, these kinds of gathering spaces. It's really just going to be visceral, sort of right in their face. And that's a step forward.
Matt, Eric talked about sort of the proximity issue and, you know, not being able to, if you live in Central Phoenix, to have, you know, a working farm or working piece of agriculture nearby. You are somebody who is a farmer. How important is it to you that folks who live in Central Phoenix have access to something like this? And maybe even if they don't ever go, can look out the windows of their house and see it, or maybe even just know that it's there?
This is going to get a little bit more personal, and I always the issue for me started back when I came back to run my family's farm, and we are in the West Valley, you know, off the 303 alignment, and there was a point when I realized that I would be the fourth and last generation to farm my family's land. I have two sons now, and they're 4 and 7 years old, and the knowledge that they won't have that same experience of growing up on the family's land is something that's driven me and troubled me for a long time. And there is so much hope, and it would seem silly, you know, because I think we throw rocks at government and the whole entire system, especially in the times that we live in now. And there's so much hope imbued into an RFP that is asking for, like, this agricultural component in a city center. Because for me, to have your hands in the soil and to see your kids have access to something that's ever that you have to care for. There's a inherent meaning of empathy and of otherness around caring for people and feeding people. And that's such a powerful gesture. And that's what we need now, is to be fed, and be fed in so many different ways. And so when I think about this existing in a city core, it's a very powerful, it's the culmination of decades of advocacy and also of what my family has been investing in Phoenix since we came out in the 20s.
Eric, a lot of times people go to restaurants and there will be either on the menu or a sign somewhere that say, you know, they locally source their produce or their beef or chicken or whatever. I'm wondering, why is it, given that that is such a popular thing now for restaurants, why is this such a unique kind of arrangement that you guys have? Because it seems like, I would imagine that you work with farmers a lot, given your role owning a restaurant.
Yeah, we do. We work with a lot of farmers, a lot of small local farmers. And the interesting thing that I have found is that even if that farm is a mile away or 3 miles away, it's a lot of work to draw those connections. Your menu verbiage or a cool Instagram post or something to say, hey, we're working with this really cool farmer. But it's still abstract and it's still disconnected to someone. And so I think what's so exciting about this is that we're bringing these two worlds together, and we're doing it in the core of a city. And it really all comes down to experience. It comes down to creating this magical experience that gets people thinking more about food. I think it's really, really important to stress that we're after the connectivity, we're after the engagement, and we're after an ability to create a mindful experience that can be both active if you want to come and take classes, or it can also just be passive as you're walking through the gardens, just like you would walk through the rest of the park.
Is that idea of sort of connecting the dots, in your mind, what separates this project from other, like, community garden type projects, or, you know, having a garden in your backyard where somebody might grow food and then cook it for themselves and they sort of get that connection? But this seems like maybe it's on a slightly different level.
It is. It's a larger scale. The community gardens that we've seen sprout up in not just Phoenix, but in many cities around the country are incredible and very well intentioned. But as we know, that still only paints half the picture. And in a lot of ways, it's the more abstract half of the picture, which is the growing of the vegetables. We can all understand a delicious plate of food. So having our agricultural working farms situated right next to a team of chefs and beautifully designed kitchens, to me, it really opens the floodgates because it takes the more abstract piece, which Matt talks about, you know, raising a seed into a harvestable vegetable, and then it brings it into a place where somebody can show you how to make it even more delicious. And that, I think, is where the momentum can really build.
All right. Matt, Eric, thanks a lot for coming in, guys. I appreciate it.
It's our pleasure. Thanks so much for having us.
Eric May owns and operates the Parlor Restaurant in Phoenix. Matt Moore is an artist, farmer, and designer. Together, they are Greenbelt Hospitality, and they're behind the proposal to renovate part of Los Olivos Park in Phoenix to include an urban farm, among other things. The Phoenix Parks Board is expected to vote on this proposal on March 22nd. If it gives the go-ahead, May and Moore say it'll start a two-year build-out process. They say they hope to be done by the middle of 2020.